thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Our Bible reading this morning is Psalm 139, verses 1 to 16. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Amen.
If you did not get a chance to listen to the podcast from last week, I would really encourage you to do so because we're going to be talking about reading the Bible together a lot. So if you want to be behind the eight ball and have no idea what we're talking about all year, then fine. But if you'd like to kind of be aware of kind of what we're talking about, pick up one of those postcards, listen to the podcast. There's other information on GBC Links as well. We really want to encourage everyone across the life of the church to be reading the Bible with others, not just reading it by ourselves. And that's one of our church-wide goals. And to some degree, that's one of the things that we want to be talking about over the month of February. Our theme is unfolding, this word picture that depicts for us where we believe we are as a church, kind of a bit of an idea about what God is leading us into, and yet more to be revealed and unfolded in our midst. So we're looking forward to what God continues to show to us. Over last week, this week, and next week, I want to be preaching through some of our church-wide goals, the invitations that we're trying to give to everybody who's a part of our church to participate in. Reading the Bible together is one, and today I want to talk about a second. But let me begin by basically taking you through Psalm 139, the section that was read, and using the first three questions of the Bible study method on it. The questions are, what stands out to you? What questions do you have, or what don't you understand? And what is the invitation of the Spirit? The fourth question is, who are you going to tell? That's you. So I'm not going to answer that one. I'll just assume you figured that one out. So the first bit, what stood out to me when I read Psalm 139? I don't know what stood out to you, might be the same as what stood out to me. But what stood out to me was in particular the psalmist's confidence that God is intimately present in his life. You hear the language that the psalmist uses? You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. The psalmist is utterly confident of one thing, and that is that God knows every aspect and every detail of his life. That's the confidence that the psalmist has. And for me, what then stands out is what leads to my question. What I don't understand is how God can be intimately present in our day-to-day lives and yet at the same time be ultimately sovereign and transcendent and over everything. It sometimes amazes me that the God who spoke the cosmos into being and sustains all things by his will would care at all about what happens in my life. And don't those things seem completely separate to me, to you, right? They're the big concerns of the world. Like I look at the mess our world is in and I think, why in the world would God pay any attention to the stuff that's going on in my life? And yet, what's the consistent message of Scripture? That God is both transcendent, sovereign, ultimate, with grand plans to restore and renew all things. And as Jesus says, he knows the number of hairs on our head. He is intimately involved in our lives. And so the invitation that I hear out of Psalm 139 is an invitation of discernment, an invitation to actually recognize and understand something about God. And that is that he is both sovereign and close by, and therefore I am invited, you are invited, we are invited to be able to see and spot and recognize where God is at work in our lives. It's not just God knowing every detail of our life, but being intimately close to us so we should be able to see him. We should be able to discern his work in our lives, which is, of course, a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery to know exactly how God is at work in our lives, but I'd like to suggest to you five categories of places to begin to look. Five categories. I'm going to share some of my own examples out of them. Your examples might be different. That's quite all right. But five examples of five categories of where you might see God at work in your life. Prayer, coincidences, experiences of God in worship, the word, or prayer, invitations to participate with him, and changes in your life or others. Those are the five I'm going to look at briefly this morning. So let me start with prayer. We believe, not because Nicolai tells us so, but because it says in James 5:17 that prayer is powerful and effective. And if prayer is effective, then that means we ought to see answers to our prayers, right? And while we may need to persist in prayer, we don't have to read very many Psalms before you get the idea that persistence is a pretty basic element of prayer, or Jesus' words in Luke chapter 18 about the persistent widow and the unjust judge that he tells his disciples that they will always pray and never give up. Right? There's a persistence in prayer, but we still ought to see our prayers answered. We ought to see answers to prayer. And so we ought to keep our eyes open for them, but also we ought to be praying for things that will be answered, the things that please God, that line up with his values, that are the sorts of things that fit with his plans and purposes and promises to renew the world. And I've been recently reminded about, I think, something quite important about prayer, and that is that it's not the power of my own prayer that matters as much as it does the power of the one to whom I pray. I find praying with other people a whole lot easier. I find praying with people after the service, I find that easy. I think praying with people in a group, I find that easy. Praying by myself, that's hard work. But I've been reminded again about how God answers prayers in the simplest way. So many of you know we've just put a couple new people on staff, and when we first put the job descriptions out, I was thinking to myself, I don't know where we're going to find these people. I don't know where they're going to come from. I have no idea how we're going to find the right person for these sorts of roles. And so I prayed, and this is the essence of my prayer. God, would you please raise up the right people for these roles? It was about as complicated as that. I didn't fast on top of that. I didn't kind of spend hours praying. That was it. And I prayed that relatively consistently. And then, surprise, surprise, guess what happened? Well, God raised up two people from places that I would not have thought to look who ended up being just right for the role. That's an answer to prayer, isn't it? And I've seen God at work, which is, I think, a really significant thing. The way you see prayers answered might be different. Maybe you have the old biblical experience of having the prayers answered immediately, which seems to be what happens in the stories, right? But look for God's response and God's activity in our prayers. I think that's one. The second place that we can look for God's activity is actually in coincidences in our lives. And essentially, we look for God in coincidences because we believe that God is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives, and therefore, the likelihood of something being a real coincidence by happenstance, fate, or luck is actually difficult to imagine. If God is so intimately involved that he knows when I rise and when I lie down, when I go out and when I come in, if he knows the thoughts before I speak them, then chances are there aren't as many coincidences as I think there are. Right? So are we looking in those coincidences for the hand of God? And sometimes you see the coincidence and you have no idea where God is. I've had one of those about 3-4 weeks ago. I was speaking to my mentor, and he mentioned a book that he had been reading that was pertinent to our conversation. And I thought, well, he's mentioned the book. I should write it down and read it. Well, I kind of wrote it down. I thought, I'll come back to that later. End of the day, I go home. I'm on the exercise bike. I'm listening to a podcast. And guess what the host mentions? The same book. I'm like, huh, that's a coincidence. isn't it? So I went out and found the book and have read the book. And I still have no idea why. I didn't have a moment of God's kind of glory bursting forth when I got to chapter 3, kind of going, that's the reason. I still have no idea. I will keep you posted. But I think to some degree there's something going on there. I don't know what it is. I love the book of Esther. I love the book of Esther because she sees her world through the eyes of faith. If you read the book of Esther, you know that the name of God is not mentioned. In fact, heaps of stuff that you would expect to be mentioned is not mentioned, to the point that I'm convinced that the author does it on purpose. And the reason why the author doesn't actually mention God is that usually in your life and in my life, we can't see the hand of God right now. We can only see it in retrospect. Very rarely, well, never in my life, have I had a burning bush experience or an angel at the end of the bed kind of experience. But I look back over my life and I see the hands of God, the fingerprints of God all over it. But in the moment when I'm trying to make a decision, in the moment when I'm trying to discern the hand of God, it is difficult. And all I can do is to say, I believe God is at work and therefore I'm going to act with faith. So what coincidences are there in your life that you suspect are not coincidences, even if you have no idea exactly where God is in it? Third, I think when we experience God in worship or in prayer or in the Word, and there are other places and other times in which we'll encounter and experience God, but I think in worship and in prayer and the Word are three times when we are perhaps most open to hear and listen. We're actually focusing on His Word, we're focusing on our relationship in prayer, or we're focusing on the things that He has done and our own heart response to Him in song. And in all three of those places, occasionally in my life, and again, this is just my experience, your experience may vary, right? I have experienced and encountered God in those moments, or rather, He has encountered me, right? There's a subtle but important difference there, I reckon, right? And for me, whenever I've encountered God, when I've been encountered by Him, I would say that it's characterized by two things. It's characterized by being a crystallized moment and a condensed moment. In other words, half a dozen times when I've really felt that God has spoken to me in worship or the Word or in prayer, I can still remember them all. Right, they've been crystallized. I told you a few weeks ago, I have a hard time remembering all of your names. So the fact that I can remember those moments, I think, speaks something about the power of God, right? And on top of that, they're condensed. In other words, and you may have had the same experience, I've had these moments when God has spoken to me, and it's taken an instant. And yet, when I try to explain it, it takes me forever to try to explain what exactly God was saying to me. But there's this condensed moment where I guess I see it's more than just a leap of my own intuition. It's more than just a connection I've finally made. There's something that the Spirit of God has dropped and it's just kind of gone boom. And all of a sudden there's all this kind of truth to be unpacked in a moment. Now, again, your experience might be very different. You might find that more common. You might find it more common in worship than in the Word, or more common in prayer than in worship, or whatever it might be. Your experience might be different, but we can look for God to encounter us and for us to have an experience of Him in those places and in those times. The fourth way that I think, or the fourth category of ways in which we can encounter God, is in His invitation to participate in His renewing work. When we talked about the Bible reading method, you know, the first two questions about what stood out to you and what don't you understand, they're important. But the money question is that third question. Where and what might God be inviting you to do? And similarly here, I think if we focus solely on answers to prayer and coincidences and experiences of God in worship, Word, and prayer, we run the risk of ending up reducing God to being only concerned about my life, right? And so I see God answering my prayers, and I see coincidences in my life, and I encountered God in my devotion reading or my prayer or in my worship moment. And while we believe that God is intimately involved, we also believe He has a much larger plan, doesn't He? This is the tension. Have you ever experienced the blessing of God in finding a parking spot at Miranda Fair at Christmas time? And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to go, well, that's a coincidence. No. I think you want to see that as the blessing of God. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, I hope God is not actually all that fussed about parking spots. You follow me on this one? I don't want to miss the blessing of God, the intimate detail of my life, but I don't want to reduce God to only being concerned with what happens to me. Seriously, there's a plan to restore and renew the whole world, and that better go beyond parking spots. So we end up with this bizarre tension, don't we? We don't want our prayers just to be about us. We want them to be big. We don't want to just look for the coincidences. We don't just want to look for my experience in worship or the word or in prayer. We also want to be aware that God is at work in our world, inviting us into his big plans. And there's this opportunity, I think, for us, a prompting in our spirit to speak or to serve or some other action that is motivated because we feel in our spirit that there's an opportunity to be involved in what God is doing. And we may not understand it. I think one of the most powerful things that we can do, and I'll mention this again later on, is the more we think about where we're going to look to see God at work, the more we see him at work. Right? It's that whole principle of once you buy a white car, everyone has one. And guess what? Nobody was following your lead. It's not as if you bought the white car and everyone went, wow, white cars, I never thought. And they all rushed out to follow your powerful influence and culture. There were always white cars. You just never noticed them. God is always at work. Sometimes we just don't notice it. So I've been thinking about this a lot. And so I wasn't that surprised when I felt I had an opportunity to participate in something that God might have been doing. We had someone doing some work in our kitchen, putting some new cabinets in, and so he came along and tell me a little bit about really significant health issues that he has and a surgery that he might be taking and what the implications might be and all this kind of stuff. And I felt prompted to ask him if he had any faith. And he said, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to be really involved, but, you know, not anymore, not for a long, long time. So, you know, I believe, but, you know, I don't do anything about it. And I felt prompted to say, can I pray for you with your surgery? And I think he was as surprised as I was that I'd asked the question. And so there's this kind of moment, and he kind of went, no, that'd be great. And so I prayed for him, really simply, you know, for wisdom for the decision he had to make and for wisdom for the surgeons if he went that way and for healing and restoration. It's fairly brief. And then I, you know, said amen and had to go off to whatever I was doing next. And so said, see ya, and left. And I have no idea what God was doing in the midst of all of that. I have no idea if that'll be significant or not. But there's just this sense for me in that moment that perhaps, that just perhaps, maybe God was doing something in this guy's life. Just maybe this opportunity, because he knew that I was a pastor, this opportunity for some sort of reconnection with faith in just in that moment. And I may never know. And that's not really the point. I felt in the moment that there was this just a small little kind of mark-sized invitation, something that I could handle, to participate with what God was doing. Where is God inviting you to participate with him? Because those sorts of opportunities are everywhere. They're everywhere. See, because God is not only just intimately involved in our lives, is he? He doesn't just know when you and I stand and go out and when we come in and all that sort of stuff. It's not as if it's only when people put faith in him that he pays any attention to them, right? What does Jesus say in the same passage about the hairs of our head? He also says that not a sparrow drops to the ground without him knowing. So that if God is at work in your life, then that also means that God is at work in the lives of those who don't care for him, who reject him, who hate everything that he stands for and is, and he's nonetheless at work. And so there is an invitation for you and I to participate, to join in, to get engaged. God does not offer to rewrite your story. He offers to write you into his. He actually offers to write you as a character, as someone who has a role to play in the grand story of his restoration and renewal of all things. That's an amazing opportunity. And then finally, the fifth category of places where we can look for God is the changes in our lives or in other people's lives. When we look back over a period of time, we think to ourselves, you know what? I'm different than I used to be. And it's not just because I've gotten older and wiser. It's because something's changed inside of me. It's when we pray for our kids, and over time we see that there's something changing in them. And it's not just that they're getting older and wiser, but that God's doing something in their lives. When they're asking questions after watching a movie on Netflix, and you're actually able to engage with something quite significant. It's when we see people who we've been praying for months or for years actually begin to soften to spiritual things, actually show a little bit of interest or curiosity to the things that God might be doing. That's when we can ascribe those things to the hand of God. And it's that big stuff about recognizing where God is at work. And these five categories, answers to prayer, coincidences, experiences of God and worship, the word or prayer, invitations to participate with him, and changes in our lives or others, these are the sorts of things that we want to be talking about as a community of faith. And this is the second of these church-wide goals. We want to invite everyone to read the Bible with somebody else, read it together, not just in our own devotional time. And secondly, we want to find and create spaces for us to talk about what God is doing in our lives. We want to create spaces to do that. And so, like we did this morning, we're going to tinker with that a little bit. We've been doing it at night for a long time. But we want to find spaces for us just to talk about a conversation with our kids or a prompting to pray on the phone with someone as opposed to saying, I'll pray for you later, right? Or something that speaks to us out of God's word. I mean, these are the sorts of things that we want to be talking about. And we've been deliberate to use the word talking about. We are not bearing witness or giving testimony, because that sounds too religious. We're talking about what God is doing, like we talk about our kids or our grandchildren or our hobbies or our plans for the weekend. We talk about that stuff because it's normal. We want our conversation about what God is doing to be as normal as that. To be able to go from talking about our kids to talking about what God is doing in one breath. To be able to shift from talking about our hobby to beginning to talk about God's answers to prayer in the same breath. And that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable from time to time, isn't it? I've already heard through the grapevine that it is. I've heard. People say, oh, I don't really like all that talking with each other stuff. Now, let me be clear here. Talking with people that we don't know real well can be a little bit awkward, granted. I feel that same awkwardness. And sometimes that can induce a fair amount of anxiety. And we want to be as careful and as gracious as we can be to give people an out in those moments. We want to be as careful and as gracious as we can be to be kind to each other in those moments and not kind of force someone to share when they just can't bring themselves to. You follow me on that one? But I suspect that for many of you, you are uncomfortable having that conversation for the same reason I am uncomfortable having that conversation, and that is because I did not notice God doing anything this week. Now, why is that? Is it because God's down the coast? You know, school's back, so it's a lot quieter down there. So he's just kind of gone off, you know, a little bit of caravanning. Your laughter suggests you know the answer to that, right? God's always at work. If I haven't seen it, it's because I haven't been paying any attention. Which is an awkward conversation to have when you're the pastor of a church telling everyone to pay attention to what God's doing, right? That's awkward. To say, what has God done? Beats me. Something. And if you're awkward for that reason, tough. Tough. Like I'd like to say we'll make it easier. I can't do that. Because the church of Jesus Christ was not developed, it was not built, it is not being built for our comfort. It's built, thank you, Steph. Thanks, being built threw me completely off. I'm in a completely different church all of a sudden. Right? People responding in the middle of it, you're freaking me out. I want more of that. All right. Oh, I'm just completely lost. It's so important for us as a community of faith because of what's written over our door. Right? Jesus says to each of us, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. To engage in the same work that he did. And so we need to be aware of, keep our eyes open to, our ears alert, and our hearts soft to the voice and prompting and movement of the Spirit so that we can join in with what he is doing. It is too important for us not to figure out how to talk about it. Because if we don't talk about it, we will then never, ever take the opportunity to encourage each other, and we allow ourselves then to sit here and not pay any attention, and it just misses us. And we end up with stories about how great God was 20 years ago when he first touched my life. And he hasn't done anything for us recently. And he's always at work. So we have to be talking about this. So if you can help us frame this up in a way that makes it as easy for you, if you have an anxiety or if it becomes really difficult to share, if you can help us frame that up in a way that kind of makes it gracious and kind and compassionate, please do. If you are only uncomfortable because you're not paying attention, too bad. We need to find ways to talk about this, because it is central to who we are and what we're on about as a community of faith. God's at work. He's doing it. Are we going to notice? So keep your eyes open, because we're going to keep having awkward conversations together, right? Nothing like coming to church and having an awkward conversation. We've got enough of those already, don't we? Are you new? No, I've been here for 50 years. Oh, right, of course you are. I've forgotten your name. I'm Nicole. I'm married to you. Those sorts of conversations, right? I'm going to invite Russell and the team up. We're going to respond in prayer and worship. We're going to sing a song that reflects some of this Psalm 139 language, this language of Christ being before and behind us and all around us that talks about our responsiveness to him. And during these last couple of songs, there'll be an opportunity for prayer. As I said, I love praying with people after the service. I think it's just a wonderful aspect of ministry here. We'd love to pray with you about what's taking place in your life, to commit things to be before the Lord, that we might see some answers to prayer in those spaces. But can I encourage us to stand together right now and let me lead us in prayer before we sing and pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the unbelievable truth that you are both ultimately sovereign and ultimately transcendent, and yet you are intimately present in our day-to-day lives. And that just sounds ludicrous, and yet your word declares it, and so we want to stand in faith and say that that's the case, that you do know the circumstances and details of our lives, that you are at work in the day-by-day aspects of our lives, and yet you also are seeking to fulfill your grand plans to restore everything. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would grant to each one of us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and hearts that are soft enough to discern your voice and invitation, that we might see answers to prayer, that we might put together the coincidences that we have around our lives, that we might experience you in worship, the word, and prayer, that we might experience the invitation to participate with your big plans, and that we might see changes in our lives and the lives of others that can only be attributed to your Spirit. I pray that you would open us up to be aware of your invitation and grant us the courage to respond. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.